From the KGOU studios, I'm Suzette Grelott, the Dean of the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma, and welcome to Worldviews. It's our first show of the new year, and Rebecca Cruz, Joshua Landis, and I revisit some of the predictions we made for international news this time last year.
The U.S. and Iran are in talks. I don't think that they're ever going to be totally successful.
The other thing I would watch out for is Scotland. They're going to vote on independence this summer, early fall, and I think they're going to vote no.
We'll also look ahead to 2015 at some of the biggest international stories we expect to follow in the next 12 months.
The oil industry is going to take a hammering.
The Ebola situation that we've experienced in 2014 will very much play a role in the discussion of healthcare internationally.
We're in a mess in Syria. We're not going to get out of it anytime soon.
That's all coming up right after this hour's news from NPR. This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Grelott. Rebecca Cruz and Joshua Landis, it's that great time of the year when we are ending one and beginning another. So let's go back and reflect on the past year, and let's do so by looking a year ago toward our show, our 2014 prediction show. Joshua, let's start with you. We were talking about how we were going to expect improved relations between the United States and Iran for 2014. Let's hear what you said.
The U.S. and Iran are in talks. I don't think that they're ever going to be totally successful. But given the estrangement between Iran and the U.S., different systems, different philosophy, that's perhaps as much as we can
I agree.
Ask
Improved relations between the U.S. and Iran, I think, is something we're going to see this year. So we did see that happen this year, right, Joshua?
We did. In fact, this is a very I got to slap myself on the back here because the talks did not end up in an agreement, but everybody agreed to kick the can down the road because we want better relations. We want okay relations with Iran because we have a common enemy in ISIS, and we need Iran.
So speaking of ISIS, a year ago, we didn't even really know what this organization was, where they've made a name for themselves this year. So going back and looking over 2014, how are we to think about the development of this organization?
Well, we all knew that Syria was going to get worse, but we had no clue that ISIS was going to be – it's gotten even worse than we could have thought. And I think with the creation of ISIS, the deteriorating situation, we're seeing these hardened terrorist groups. And I think we're going to see more of those. Egypt, where we've had a reaction, a military stopping this democratic process, you're going to get embittered small crowd of Egyptians that are going to go to Libya, which is now in chaos, where there's training camps, and you're going to get harder groups of terrorism that are going to be around for a long time. And America's going to be fighting this, counterterrorism war in the Middle East. It's going to be hanging around our neck for some time to come.
So definitely counter-terrorist activities going on through 2015. Well, so let's look at what the both of you had to say about Africa. We were talking about whether we should be optimistic about the future of Africa a year ago. So let's see what you had to say.
Boy, there's a hard one for you. I'm not overly optimistic.
I'm going to go with optimistic. I think that Africa is a new market, and we're seeing more and more investment in that continent, certain countries within it. So while there is reason to be pessimistic, I'm going to retain my optimism.
So, Rebecca, how do you feel this year?
Well, it's a big continent, and I do think we did see some development, but it's hard to ignore the fact that there was a lot of reason to be pessimistic this year and what was going on in Africa. Obviously, Ebola, the outbreak, the largest we've seen, and it's still not contained, still dealing with that situation. We also kind of talking back to what Joshua said about hardened groups. We also saw Boko Haram in Nigeria, as well as Al-Shabaab in Kenya and in Somalia, kidnapping girls, terrorist attacks. So there did seem to be a lot of negative negative things happening in Africa this year. But again, it is a large continent. We're talking about many countries.
So any signs at all that we should be optimistic about Africa in the year coming forward? I mean, they have many hurdles.
There's one optimistic sign, which is Tunisia. Libya has gone down the drink into complete chaos. But Tunisia, there has been a second round of elections that have been successful, switching of parties in power. So there's hope for democracy in Tunisia, although that's a small spot on a big continent. And Nigeria was number two in the deaths due to terrorism. Iraq was number one. 5,000 people killed by terrorist groups this last month. Iraq was number one place, but Nigeria was number two.
Well, we'll come back to this in a little while, but the Millennium Development Goals, I mean, I think we do see some real achievements in Africa in terms of cutting poverty in half. And so I think we can come back and talk about some of the optimism about that for next year. But first, Rebecca, we have to get to your outstanding prediction about Scotland's referendum. A year ago, we were expecting the referendum to happen and that Scotland may or may not vote for its independence. So let's see what you had to say.
The other thing I would watch out for is Scotland. They're going to vote on independence this summer, early fall, and I think they're going to vote no.
And you got that right.
I did get that right. But, you know, it was much closer leading up to the vote than I had anticipated. I think when the vote actually happened, it wasn't quite so close. But there was a lot more debate than I think we could have perceived. But in the end, yes, they did vote no.
All right, Nostradamus. Well, another huge event from 2014 that we were looking forward to was the World Cup in Brazil, and we had some very interesting predictions there as well. So here's what you two had to say.
Ian, we always expect these things to fall through. In Greece, we expected them to fall through, but they've been glorious.
This is true, but of course, we've already seen a stadium collapse. We've seen situations of murder. It's going to be tense. Maybe the event will go off, but the lead-up's been interesting. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say Germany's going to win this thing.
Well, I predicted Brazil. You predicted Germany. At least they played each other in the final. But
in an
what
epic
a
game.
Epic final. What a final to remember or for some to forget. But as far as the event coming off, I mean, this definitely was an opportunity for Brazil to showcase what it had to offer. And in fact, the games more or less came off without a hitch. And even though we had some difficulties leading up, and there are, you know, some potential critical comments we can make about it.
But would you say they're glorious?
But Joshua, you were right. It was a glorious event. And so on to the next glorious event, not in 2015, but certainly in 2016. So in 2015, we'll continue to look, I think, at Brazil as they're preparing for the Summer Olympics.
Absolutely, we will. The World Cup obviously came off. I would also say that the Sochi Olympics came off, though, again, there was much, much discussion. And there was reason to be skeptical in both situations. And there were incidents which were not fantastic. But yes, at the end of the day, we see the world uniting for soccer and we see the world uniting for winter sports in a glorious fashion, Joshua. And yes, Germany did win. So that was a nice little feather in my cap.
Well, let's think back over 2014 about a couple of other issues. I mean, you mentioned, Rebecca, the kidnapping of 300 girls in Nigeria. I mean, altogether, this has been a difficult year for women and children in some ways around the world. On the other hand, you saw Malala Yousafzai, a young Pakistani woman, that won the Nobel Peace Prize, and a lot of energy around issues of women and gender. But for 2014 in general, what is our take on it?
I think Malala's win or sharing part of the Nobel Peace Prize was certainly significant. But on the whole, I think if we think about children in particular, we can think about this country where there was much debate over unaccompanied minors crossing the border from Mexico. We had the Boko Haram girls bring back our girls. They still have not been returned. And this was a situation that has continued.
Not to mention the Yazidi women.
Absolutely. A situation in Syria with the Yazidi women and children that have been killed that we've talked about recently on this show, as well as the record number of migrants crossing over the Mediterranean, and many of those also tend to be women and children, a record number of people dying in that passage.
Big story this year, too, about unaccompanied children migrating from South America, from Central America primarily, to the United States, arriving across our borders without any parents, any guardians, and expecting the United States to deal with that. It's been a challenging year
Of course, the unspoken is also the tremendous economic success in places like China, India, Brazil, Turkey, where hundreds of millions of young people and women have been joining the middle class, getting educated as never before, the amount of women being successful in universities around the world, very high. So there are tons of accomplishments that mirror some of the uglier and more unfortunate
Well, women have, the discussion continues as women continue to lean in their industries for sure. So we can't go without talking about protests around the world in 2014, numbers of them in Hong Kong, in Ukraine, obviously, that led to all kinds of things unfolding in, between Ukraine and Russia. So protests in the United States, multiple events of outcry, public outcry around the world, the Middle East, clearly this is going on. So protests and Putin, Rebecca, talk about how those two things are related.
I think last year we were sitting here watching Ukraine as their president fell. I don't know that we could have foreseen that Crimea was going to come next and that we would start to see Putin really become an even more important figure on the world stage. I think we knew he was there. We were paying attention to him, but he really, really asserted himself this way. And in fact, although Time magazine has named the Ebola volunteers great heroes as the Time People of the Year, I would argue that this has been the year of Putin. We have paid much more attention to him and to Russia than we have perhaps in the past decade, from taking Crimea to then the situation with Ukraine, where soldiers from Russia were going across the border, even though it was denied by the Russian government, to, you know, Ukraine shooting down an airplane full of passengers from
Ukraine or Russian,
right.
Pro-Russian Ukrainians or rebels. I mean, we were really not even sure what happened there, but with no consequences.
No consequences, and he had the opportunity to do something. He was in a position to lay down consequences in eastern Ukraine, and he chose not to. And we've also then seen Merkel and others have reacted. Sanctions have been increased. Russia's been pushed out of the G8. I mean, this is a significant year, and the situation in Ukraine also continues, even though we may not be paying all that much attention to it right now.
But much of this protest, I mean, it must be remembered, is because this has been the year of the income gap. The president said that's our big national issue, and it's an issue around the world. And I think a lot of the outcry, whether it's in the United States that's exacerbated race relations or in the Middle East, is because of this growing income gap between those people in the world who are got good governments and are making money and those who are not.
Well, income inequality is certainly something that I think we'll continue to be talking about through 2015. Don't forget, too, when we talk about Russia and Putin, the Winter Olympics that were held there and quite successfully so. And a lot of this unfolded in the wake of that successful event. But it was a bad year for the airline industry. I mean, you just mentioned that particular situation of being shot down over Ukrainian territory. But Malaysian Airlines had just been experiencing several months before the loss of another airliner that's still not been found today. Other accidents around the world, big, high profile airline accidents. So that's something that we certainly were talking about through 2014. You're listening to my conversation with Rebecca Cruz and Joshua Landis about some of the biggest international news of the past year. We'll talk about some of the stories we expect to follow in 2015 right after this short break. I'm Suzette Gorlat, and this is Worldviews. You're listening to Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlat, the Dean of the University of Oklahoma's College of International Studies. This half hour, I've been looking back at some of 2014's biggest international news with our regular contributors, Rebecca Cruz and Joshua Landis. So, into 2015, and we end the year 2014 with oil prices extremely low, and we're really not sure which way it's going to go, right? So, we're riding this fine line between consumers paying less at the pump, but the industry struggling and oil exporting countries struggling from this drop in oil prices. So what does this mean for us, Joshua, going forward into 2015 regarding the economic and political consequences low oil prices?
I do think that low oil prices are here for some time, and this is the product of new technology. And we've seen it in America, and America has been beating themselves on the chest for being the leaders in fracking and opening up these new frontiers. But we haven't thought, of course, about how other countries would respond to this. And Saudi Arabia clearly is going to maintain its high production levels in order to punish America and to try to keep its market share. And this happened in the 80s, and it led to the savings and loan crisis here in Oklahoma and Texas, big bankruptcies. And so we face something similar today as Saudi Arabia and America arm wrestle over who's going to be the big producer and where prices are going to be. But that, of course, has big effects. We know it here at University of Oklahoma, where our budget is probably going to get hammered if state taxes don't hold up. On the other hand, every Oklahoman family is going to have more money in their pocket, and the kids are going to be able to afford – families are going to be able to afford to send their kids to school better. So, you know, there are winners and there are losers.
That's a tough one. But your prediction is for 2015
low oil prices.
And potential economic, real severe economic consequences because of it.
I think the oil industry is going to take a hammering. I think this year it's going to be very tough. They felt invincible, and but for the average American, I think I saw estimates of something like, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars that this means to the average American over if it stays for a year at these prices.
Well, Rebecca, let's talk about those Millennium Development Goals and the issues that kind of wraps together a lot of the issues we've talked about through 2014. But looking forward to 2015, when those goals are really supposed to be met. But this has to do with income inequality, with health issues, maternal health, education, the role of women and children in society. I mean, all of these things are kind of wrapped together in these lofty goals set out 15 years ago. And so are we likely to meet some of these goals?
Well, it looks like actually the UN has reported that we have made progress on almost every single one of these goals. None of them has been absolutely met, but we have made significant progress. The number of people living in poverty has decreased significantly, and that's important. As Joshua mentioned earlier, the number of women getting equal access to education has increased across the developing world or the global South. And so there has been tremendous success. Another area is on HIV and AIDS awareness and prevention. So that's been really, really significant. And I think these were very lofty goals. I think most people knew that these were not goals that were going to be met, but they were goals that were worth striving for. And so as 2015 comes up, and this is the year when we'll assess those goals, but we'll also, as an international community, get together and create new sustainable development goals. So since we've made progress, how do we sustain this and improve it? And my prediction for the year is we have this conference. Interestingly enough, it's going to be held in Rio. But as we have this conference, I think that the Ebola situation that we've experienced in 2014 will very much play a role in the discussion of healthcare internationally and international security as well. Just as HIV/AIDS was really kind of the disease that was looked at in the original Millennium Development Goals, I think we can't escape the role of Ebola and how we have to tackle that as an international community.
All right. So, Joshua, back to you on the Middle East in terms of predictions for stability. Any hope we can have in predicting some stability in the Middle East this coming year?
Boy, you know, Iraq and Syria are going to continue to be really terrible battlegrounds. And the United States, you know, in a way, has become a partner with Iran and with Assad, in a sense, against ISIS. Now, we're trying to build up the Syrian Sunni rebels against Assad at the same time as we're sort of counting on, you know, we're in a mess in Syria, and that's we're not going to get out of it anytime soon. I feel confident of that. But yes, I think this growing terrorism is not going to go away because these countries are fragile. They've fallen apart. Libya is a black hole, and there are already training camps for al-Qaeda in Libya. So we're going to see a more ensconced ISIS. And this war is not going away anytime soon.
Well, can we be hopeful at least that the U.S.-Iranian situation will continue to thaw? I mean, I think that's where we started this conversation today there, because last year we were seeing that happen. It seems to me that we can be fairly confident that might continue. And perhaps even our relations with North Korea might continue to thaw. We saw some gestures from the North Korean side in the release of three American prisoners in recent months. So perhaps in part of that axis of evil that we once identified, that we're going to see some progress in those relationships in 2015.
Well, Iran, definitely. I think there's a frenemies situation there where we can't afford to be total enemies with Iran. But we have real deep differences over Israel, anti-Semitism, and over the Middle East. We're allied with Sunni powers in the Gulf against Iran. But we're balancing, and we need Iran in Iraq and Syria. Korea, it's another matter altogether. I think you know, most people look at Koreans as, you know, from Mars, and overcoming those differences in regime type and culture and so forth are going to be immensely difficult.
Well, Rebecca, back to Latin America. We can't just talk about Brazil. We have to talk about Mexico, up-and-coming country. What are our predictions for that country?
I think they're actually positive. There's been a lot going on in Mexico. And half a decade ago, we were talking about the drug war. But this last year, as we mentioned, there were protests. There were protests in Mexico relating to the disappearance of a number of students. But we saw people taking to the streets. We saw them calling for action, and we saw a government response. So I think that's significant. We also just this past fall, there was a monopoly that was eradicated. So the government lifted a 75-year monopoly that did not allow for foreign investment on oil, coming back to oil again. And so I think that we're going to see Mexico as a rising economy. Keep an eye out for Mexico.
All right. Well, this has been an exciting year. It's been great to share the microphone with the two of you throughout 2014. Many thanks to everyone at KGOU. And we'll see a year from now how our predictions for 2015 went. So thank you very much, the two of you, for being here with me today and year round.
Well, thank you, Suzette and Brian, for holding the torch here.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
That was Joshua Landis and Rebecca Cruz talking with me about what we're looking ahead to in the coming year. There's more information on our website, kgou.org. Worldviews is a production of KGOU and the University of Oklahoma's College of International Studies, where I serve as the dean. Our research fellow is Symphony Swift, and the show is produced by Brian Hardzinski. For Rebecca Cruz and Joshua Landis, I'm Suzette Grelott.